Brookhaven Township is the only municipal Environmental Protection Department estimates that 40% of
graduate students at the State University of New York at Stony Brook. It can be heard every night at midnight and every afternoon at 5:58 on WUSB Stony Brook.
Stardate November 7th. In the evening sky this month, you'll find the Great Square of Pegasus. Four fairly bright stars mark the corners of the square, which is located overhead at around 9 p.m. Pegasus is supposed to be a flying horse, and the square is the horse's body. At first glance, the square looks empty, as though no stars lie within its boundaries. In fact, in a very dark sky, you can see many stars inside the Great Square of Pegasus. It's a test of the sky and the night's conditions for stargazing to count how many stars you do see. In the 19th century, an astronomer named Julius Schmidt claimed he saw 102 stars in the square. Now, you probably won't count that many, but look for yourself and see. The brightest star in the square is called Markab, which is an Arabian word that means saddle. Another famous square star is Alpharatz, which means the horse's navel. It's only fair to mention that that name doesn't apply anymore because Alpharatz no longer belongs to Pegasus. The star was shared for many years by two constellations, Pegasus and neighboring Andromeda. Now, although the star is needed to complete the Great Square, it officially belongs to Andromeda. In sky lore, it represents the head of the princess for whom that constellation was named. Again, the Great Square of Pegasus can now be seen overhead in the evenings. It's easy to pick out because it really does look like a square with four bright stars marking the corners. Stardate is written each day by Deborah Bird and produced for the University of Texas McDonald Observatory. For the McDonald Observatory, I'm Joel Block.
Ladies and gentlemen, for the next 3 hours, the voice of Long Island.
Eric, how are you?
Hey, Mike, how's it going?
Oh, pretty decent.
How's the last week been?
Oh, pretty good. Are you standing up in there?
Let me throw this chair back. Yep. We have no more chair over here.
And there's no chair in here either.
Do you know why we're doing this, Mike?
Well, everybody is rebelling against the chairs in here.
That's right. For the last week, a good majority of the DJs here at WUSB have been standing up while they've been doing their shows. Now, folks such as Lister, who do reggae programs on Saturday afternoons, have always stood.
Right.
Not for any particular reasons. They just do their shows better when they're standing up. But now everybody seems to be doing it.
Yeah.
Because we're sick of sitting in these chairs that
squeak. Yeah.
They squeak. They're uncomfortable. They make all sorts of other noises. And it's just, there's no reason for it.
No rhyme or reason whatsoever.
So we've thrown all the chairs onto the floor where they belong. And we're standing up doing our shows now.
Right.
I feel a lot better.
I do too. It's good. You get to relax while you're standing up. Oh.
Yeah, it's rare that you stand up unless you're in a subway or something, you know, without walking.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Well, it's been a while since I've done a show standing up, so I wonder if I can do it.
We'll make it through the whole 3 hours, you think?
Sure.
Yeah,
except when we get the pizza, the midnight snack.
We'll stand up for that too.
Sure. Why not?
Can we lean against the wall, maybe?
Well, let's see. Well, I don't think my headphone cord would go back that far, actually.
Oh.
So how was it last week without me here?
Pretty exciting.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was interesting. Mm-hmm. We got your call from Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
We had a few of your comments on tape already.
Mm-hmm.
We listened to those.
Right.
And we had all sorts of, other sound effects and things going on.
Like a door.
Yeah, well, that's a real door.
Oh, I see. Well, that's good. I'm glad that you were able to carry on without my presence.
Yeah.
Present.
Gary Pecorino is still here. I think maybe we should just sort of push him out of the way a little bit. His show is over after all this. Okay, that's good.
The nerve of that man, Gary Pecorino.
He's out of the way now.
So, listen, how was your week this week?
Why are we coming through echoes?
Why not?
I don't know. Well, I guess it's a good reason.
Okay.
How was my week? My week was rather interesting. What is our theme?
Oh, let me see if I can find it.
Oh, you forgot about our intro theme.
It's in here somewhere.
My goodness.
Well,
tell me, the world come to?
Just how was your Halloween?
Halloween was it was kind of exciting.
Mm-hmm.
A few things happening on campus.
Mm-hmm.
It was, I believe, Caribbean Day, too. Well, there was a Caribbean party anyway, which was interesting.
That's good. That's good. That's what you did on Halloween, huh?
I did a lot of things on Halloween.
You did?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, I'll tell you what I did Halloween. Well, you know, that last Friday I was up in Connecticut, and the week after that I had another party I went to.
Yo.
Tuesday morning I was driving into work. And you know, some people do anything for a buck. I can't believe it. I'm driving along, going down, I think it was Vets Highway, and there had been an accident not too long earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm driving along, and there's all these fire trucks and ambulances and police cars. And guess what's right in the middle of it?
Tell us.
A coffee truck doing business, selling bagels and stuff. Right in the middle of the accident scene, yeah. Right in the middle of all the fire trucks, and he's cleaning up. He must be.
Well, perhaps he was there when the accident occurred, so legally he's allowed to stay where he was, isn't he?
Well, still, I mean, you know, I don't know if I'd actually, you know, go and eat where there's an accident.
What would really have been interesting is if the bagel truck had been involved in the accident.
And still continued to sell bagels.
Yeah.
Yes, that would be interesting.
That would have been fun.
Yeah.
Did you vote this week?
Yes, I did. Did you?
Yes, I managed to get around to it.
Good. Well, aren't you
less
excited
about it, the better?
Oh, I see. So did everybody that you voted for win, or?
More or less.
Place, or show, or?
They were up there.
Uh-huh, that's good. Well, I suppose. Well, your family with you, huh? I tell you what, Eric, we're going to have to get rid of these visitors, so why don't we get into some music then, huh?
Okay, I'm going to go outside.
Okay, bye. And I'll do it for you.
you really need me. I lose my mind every time I hear you say you got to have me. I lose my mind every time I hear you say you really need me.
Pamela Moore.
Yeah.
From the album Take a Look. I Lose My Mind.
On the airplane.
Or wherever else.
Is that an airplane? It sounds like a helicopter.
You know, you're right, it is. Look at it closely.
Falling.
Whoops.
That sounds like an airplane.
I guess it's a fight between an airplane and a helicopter.
A really old airplane at that.
Well, so much for that.
Yeah. Say, there's some interesting things going on coming up on our program.
On the Voice of Long Island. Yes, we have an exclusive interview with the Emperor Zahn. Yo.
The Emperor Zahn. Could you tell me who he is?
Okay, the Emperor Zahn is the head of a new, well, I wouldn't say cult, it's a new movement that's starting out in California. We have a little pamphlet, which we will be reading a little bit later when we go into the interview, and it's very interesting. We talked with him last week, well, actually I talked to him last week while you were in Connecticut, and he said some rather poignant things.
Rather profound things.
Profound observations, yes. The Emperor Zahn will be broadcasting that interview. We have a new episode of the Tripods, as always, and a special announcement.
An announcement from?
As far as the Tripods go.
Oh, yeah. Well, do you want to announce it now?
I guess we should.
Okay.
Starting this Tuesday.
And Thursday,
the Tripods will be rebroadcast in their entirety, starting from episode 1. That's right. The whole thing. If you missed anything, you can catch up now. Isn't that great?
That's excellent.
Don't you just love us for doing this?
I sure do.
Yeah. Well, as a public service, we are doing it for you, and you can hear it between 10 and 10:15 on Tuesday and Thursday.
Right. Somewhere between 10 o'clock and 10:15, the rebroadcast of the original Tripods.
The first Tripods. Used to be a TV show called The First Churchills. Now there are the first Tripods.
And remember the Forsyth saga?
Yes, I do.
I don't.
Do you remember Upstairs, Downstairs?
Yes, I do. Do you remember Kiss Me, Kate?
Oh, no.
See what happens when you fall down the stairs and dub?
Yeah.
Hey, you know, it's 8 degrees in Stony Brook.
And what is that Fahrenheit?
46. Golly.
Gosh.
Are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Well, I'll tell you what.
What do we got queued up on the turntable?
We got something from a fellow named Peter Cetera. How's that sound?
What is the name of the track we are about to hear and what album and that kind of thing?
Well, it's an album called Peter Cetera, and the song is called I Can Feel It. Right here on The Voice of Long Island on WUSB exclusively. Hey, what's the phone number here anyway?
Something like 246-7901. Yeah. I can feel it from above the soul.
From the hills of Tibet to the detective squad of a New York City police station. The Adventures of Captain Chong.
Boy, just look at this. It's got to be one of the cleanest jobs I've ever seen. $2 million worth of diamonds just taken away from this here jewelry store without even a trace. It staggers my imagination.
Beware. For it is only a fool who finds it impossible to comprehend the incomprehensible. Is it beyond the realm of a water rat to envision a leopard? Can a cricket be completely unaware of the rings of Saturn?
You're right, Captain. You're absolutely right. These hoods think they've pulled a fast one over on us. But you and me were too smart for them. They won't stand a chance.
Brave words with cowardly syllables. Lao Tzu walked many miles to find the dove-tailed swallow flies not only in blue skies.
I hadn't thought about that. These crooks may be harder to catch than we had first thought. What I want to know is how these guys managed to carry off all those diamonds and still managed to keep all the windows, the front and back door, and the cellar door locked when they left.
It is not wise to chase after three separate downtown buses. Book of Tao say, better to chase only one which can take you to a transfer point, where you may find others.
All right, you are, Captain Chong. Let's tackle these things one at a time. Now, there had to be at least six of them to haul all the loot off so easily, which means they must have had a van or a small truck to help them.
Yet does not the loon of New England fly underwater?
By golly, you're right. They could have each driven a separate car over here and put one or two bags of stuff in their trunks and met at a secret rendezvous later on. Huh. But that still doesn't explain how they managed to get in here without tripping off any of the dozen or so alarms they have set up around here.
Never underjudge the ability of the East European rattlesnake to raise a family during the UEFA playoffs.
I guess you're right there, Captain Chong. If somebody really wanted to do something badly enough, they'd figure out a way to do it.
However, baboons and orangutans rarely marvel at the writings of Confucius or the works of Plato.
You know, continuing along that line, these guys might not even know we're hot on their trail. Huh. We've got to play our cards right.
One must take caution not to upset the fragile balance that has always existed between the Namibian wombat and the Mediterranean fruit fly. Else, all of the writings of Tao would be lost forever.
So maybe we should look for more clues inside the room.
One must dissect the ambivalence of the sun god Delamagafatar before the towers of Babel rant and rave. All this must occur before the harvest of the tea leaves, which...
Hey, look at this, Captain Chong. When I looked inside the safe, I found that all of those diamonds were hidden off to one side, so we couldn't see them right away. They weren't stolen after all.
It has been, and always will be understood, that the Tibetan rainforest has the same physical features as the underside of a dromedary. It is so written.
I got to hand it to you, Captain Chong. You solved another one. I honestly don't know how you do it.
The adventures of Captain Chong are protected by all United States and Chinese copyright laws. Void were prohibited.
Thank you.
Rubber Dubber Dyer sound effect, man. Dial sound effect. 246-7901. Oh.
Yeah. Thank you. Minor bird is coming up, but don't go away. I'll rub a dub style, 90.1 FM.
Aua!
Aua!
Watch you, 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 wat
dreadlocks and smoking pipe and cheek. Too much informers and too much beef. Too much watchy, 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 too much. Too much watchy, 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 too much. Dreadlocks can live in a tenement down. Dreadlocks can live in a tenement down. Down anything in a tenement down. Down anything in a tenement down.
Thank you.
Saturday's a party. 12 midnight to 3.
Like they're on top of the world, they shall fade away. and hear what I say. The rich is getting richer every day, and the little that the poor man got, it shall be taken away. Do you hear what I say? Yeah, hear what I say. The man who worships silver and gold shall surely, surely, surely lose his own soul. Don't fade away. One who's always acting smart and don't carry no love in his heart shall fade away. God is there and there and everywhere. Unfair, so people beware, or else you fade away. Hey, beware, or then you fade away. You gotta fade, gotta fade, gotta fade. Getting richer every day, and the little that the poor man got, it shall be taken away. Do you hear what I say? Hey, hear what I say. One who's always acting smart and forgetting to carry love in his heart shall fade away. God is here and there and everywhere, and his eyes are watching you. You gon' fade away, yeah, yeah, you gon' fade, 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 fade away.
Thank you.
And Prince Mohammed, ending off our fantastic reggae set for tonight.
The USB version of Someone Loves You, Honey.
You know, Saturday's a party, 12 midnight to 3.
12 midnight to 12 midnight, actually. Saturday's a party, and Sunday's a party, too. It's all part of the Radio Free Weekend.
Right here on WUSB
Stony Brook.
Yeah.
And you're listening to the voice
of Long Island.
Well, we have with us now, well, actually not with us now, but with us a little while ago.
About a week ago.
On tape now, the Emperor Zahn.
Emperor Zahn?
Emperor Zahn. And he sent us a message from the cosmos. He calls himself the first mystical golden ruler of planet Earth, one for all and all for...
...
Yeah, you're supposed to fill in a one there.
Oh.
The title of this thing is called Doomsday USA. He claims it's non-sectarian, non-partisan, non-violence, truth, propaganda for peace.
Hmm.
All sorts of quotes from great people in there.
Mm-hmm. Like who?
Such as William Blake. The truth told with bad intent beats all the lies you can invent. That's even the poem from William Blake there.
Sure.
Nuclear warfare between the two superpowers, USSR and the USA, is inevitable within the present first strike time period, 1981 to 1987.
With any reasonable conclusion, the USA and the USSR have nothing to gain and something close to extinction as a reward for both nations' military madness. As in the past, historically, one cannot count on reason to prevail when the self-destructive gods of war on the march.
What controlling thought force controls today's military psychic?
Yeah, Genghis Khan, Alexander the Great. All the Neapolitan mentality.
Yes, history is repeating itself with a political evil blend of modern push-button, conventional, nuclear, and biological weapons of war.
Mm.
In 1981, there are approximately 45,000 nuclear warheads in stock throughout this world, and still increasing. And all the wasteful billions for armaments, now reaching $1 trillion. To what end?
Yeah, from day to day, the USA and USSR people are living upon a fine thread of nuclear war by miscalculation, as the danger of countdown escalates to the point of no return.
Nations in the nuclear club are increasing. Today, 6 nations. 5 years hence, 10 or more nations will have their foot in the nuclear club door. The time is coming when nations have to cooperate to live in the world community or self-destruct.
And there's a quote in here from Leo Tolstoy. What is the use of men's reason above all the love that is stored in their hearts if it is only possible to deal with them as animals by threats and violence?
And this comes from Dwight D. Eisenhower.
Of all people.
Every gun that is made, every warship launched, every rocket fired signifies in the final sense a theft from those who hunger and are not fed, who are cold and not clothed. This world in arms is not spending money alone. It is spending the sweat of its laborers, the genius of its scientists, the hopes of its children. This is not a way of life at all. Under the cloud of threatening war, it is humanity
hanging from a cross of iron. Is there no other way the world may live?
It's very interesting, this booklet that you're reading here. Now, how did you get this?
Well, it was sent to us.
Sent to you?
Yeah, sent to the radio station. And we read it, and as we always do when we read these things, we try to contact people who send us these things. And I managed to get through to Emperor Zahn in person.
What is his real name?
You know, I didn't ask him that.
Oh.
Somehow I felt that might be a little personal.
Yeah.
It would be, certainly.
Yeah.
Confucius once said, reciprocity.
Reciprocity.
I must have had a great deal of trouble saying it, too.
Reciprocity.
Reciprocity?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. What you would not have others do unto yourself, do not unto others.
Mm-hmm. Gosh, greed begets hatred. Hatred begets violence, and violence begets death.
Such is the teaching of Zoroaster as regards man's relationship to his fellow man.
Mm.
Would you like to read the proclamations?
No.
Sure you would.
I would. Proclamations. Emperor Zahn, first mystic supreme of the planet Earth, does hereby proclaim and decree, 1. Every human being, without exception on the planet Earth, has the inalienable right to free and peaceful existence.
It is the duty, 2, it is the duty of all governments to protect and serve all its people to the best of its ability.
Yeah, okay. War is a crime against all humanity. Aggressive war starts in the minds of a few power-mad leaders who organize and arm the unorganized innocent, driving them to senseless slaughter. The age we now live in outlaws. The age we now live in outlaws all war.
It's a staggering thought, isn't it?
Yes.
Man is all mixed up, 4. Man is all mixed up in the illusion of races and outdated ideas until delinquent adults of the world re-educate themselves. Each generation will suffer the same.
We are all brothers and sisters, although we are descended from different parents. World peace and unity rests upon same.
And finally, from planet to planet, man will roam, all the heavens his home. Okay.
It's now the time of the program where we venture out into the billions and billions of life forms on this giant spaceship. Spaceship, we will take one sampling of life and examine it thoroughly and in depth, where we will go and what we will find. Nobody knows. But we can find out. And beware. Because sooner or later, We're gonna get you. On the Voice of Long Island.
Zahn, is that correct? All right, would you like to tell us something about who the world citizens are in general? Then we can get into the philosophy a little bit later.
World citizens?
Yes.
It'd be nice if we all were world citizens. It'd be a better place to live in. Getting along with each other. That's just about the soul of it.
How long have world citizens, as you define it, existed?
Just started. Just something new.
And what was it that inspired you to start this movement?
Well, the whole idea has been in my mind for 20 years. Over 20 years.
Uh-huh.
I read about it. All about the great philosophers. Buddha. Less of them for years. And that's mainly the their philosophy. It's mine. It's being kind. Being kind to yourself. Being kind to others. That's just about it. The golden rule of the world.
I see. Was there an instigating factor that started it when you did?
The instigating factor?
Yes.
I'd say reading about it, studying it all my life. I've been interested in, people have been interested in philosophy. I've been interested in philosophy, the world's great religion, things like that. But I try to stay away from, the religious aspect of my philosophy.
So it says at the beginning of your pamphlet here that you're non-sectarian, non-partisan.
Yeah, I try to rise above that. The only way you're going to get anywhere, if you get nailed down with one this or that, if you're a solid Democrat, you'll never rise above yourself. You'll never, get anything done that way.
I see.
You're stick in the mud.
Yeah. Now,
those that can rise above themselves are those who try to do something in this world to help others, other than themselves and their own narrow self-interest.
Uh-huh. Well, it seems to me you're trying to reach out to everybody in the world, regardless of their race, creed, religion, whatever.
Yeah, it's hard to set that aside. That's the troubles throughout the world. Certain countries, even their own races, are hurting one another. They can't rise above it. It's just, I hate to say it, but certain countries. We take a country like, good Lord, their own faith, and people have been able to do much because they can't rise above it. That's the. Bless them, the Irish. Shamrock. They can't rise above their own. They can't see the whole picture. They just. Well, it's frightful. You can be. their own, what do they call them, their own bishops and things tried, the darned. They still can't. They just can't rise above it. They try. They do the best they can. And that's what I'm trying to do, you know, rise above it.
Now, throughout the whole history of the world, this has been a problem with mankind, the conflicts with races, the conflicts with religions. Do you honestly believe that you, Emperor Zahn, can do something significant in the 1980s to progress mankind beyond this stage?
It's a try. I'm trying. Naturally, I meet a lot of... I get a lot... Unfortunately, the mail... Some of the small newspapers have picked up Emperor Zahn and made a little fun of it. You know, oh great, you know, this and that. But that's fine, you know, that's better than hate. Better to give the world a smile. And I got a lot of letters, and it's so stacked up. But at least it's a try to give the world something better. That's what I'm trying to do.
I see now.
With, everybody's had to put up with it. Somebody's got to try. We don't try as, I don't know, did you receive the booklet?
Yes, I did.
Oh, well, then there's a lot in there. I've read, that's a study of years, trying to put it into a few pages. I don't know if you can recognize that or not.
Well, on page one of this booklet, you say that the nuclear warfare between the two superpowers is inevitable. Do you really believe that, or are you just quoting somebody?
You think that I think that is inevitable?
I'm reading what's on the first page here. It says the first line of your book is nuclear warfare between the two superpowers, USSR and the USA, quote-unquote, is inevitable within the present first strike time frame, 1981 to 1987.
Yes, I believe that. It's very, very possible. I mean, if you're keeping up with the news and everything that's going on now, it's breaking wide open. You know, what certain people are doing, they're even going up into space and lasers and all that. Oh, yes. It's very, I think within that time, if something isn't done to get together, somebody's going to... The big thing, I think, is the big mistake. Somebody's going to press the button the wrong way. That is what, from all the studying I've been doing, reading I've been doing, somebody is going to make a big mistake. Have you gone to the bank, your savings and loans? Any place you've gone or done any business anywhere, and they say, well, could you please wait? Well, why do I have to wait? Well, the computer's down.
I think a better example would be the motor vehicle office.
It would be? It happened to you there?
Yeah, it happens to lots of people there.
Well, it happens to the banks, it happens to all your big places. If you have to wait or something went wrong. They say the computer's down. It's not working. Or when something happens, somebody pushes the wrong button. Well, it's nice for you and I if they push the wrong button. And we get a few checks instead of a dollar for 10,000.
Well, there already have been a couple of computer errors as far as the nationwide alert system goes.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, they've been caught in time, but I see what you're saying. You think something, some sort of an error could trigger an entire nuclear catastrophe?
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at. Even in the market where the girl pushes the wrong button, it's very simple. Instead of $10, you pay $30.
Uh-huh.
It's very easy for that little finger to, and even my little computer, I have one of those. Everybody has them today, I think.
Seems that way.
Your little things here.
What steps would you take to alleviate that possibility?
When you fly an airplane, and you're going anywhere with an airplane, which is very seldom happened. But what happens? The first thing comes up is human error. I don't know. How would you eliminate human error? We're all human. So when you get into that computer, they have a backup system. How? Could you say that again? How would I?
Well, you say that surely something is going to happen as far as a nuclear catastrophe if we don't do something. Well, what is it we should do?
Well, we should try to cooperate. That's why I got the world citizens, trying to get world citizens. All my replies are coming in on that. I'm trying to plot the world citizens club, membership club, and people getting together. The people trying to get together in a peaceful effort.
I see. Now, you're centered out in California. Do you have any other branches anywhere else in the country or the world?
The world, well, I've got some letters. Well, believe it or not, I've got some letters from Greece. They have problems over there, but I got a few letters from over there. And a few letters from England. I don't know how they got wind of it, but I told them, the general sent them the little booklet, and that's it. Remember when the big scare in this country was, 10, 20 years ago? The first big scare in the United States when they started about the bomb scare. They started building bomb shelters and things.
That was the late 50s, I believe.
Late 50s. Well, there was something in Europe at that time. It was called a world citizen thing. It was there at that time. It didn't spread very far, but it was there at that time. I remember that. So that was one point. They're trying to get together. And then they built bomb shelters here in that time. The United States was all high, They even had them built around here. They sold them. But the thing fell through. It was a big scare in the 50s.
What became of the world citizens of Europe?
Yeah, there was something at that time in France.
What became of them?
That I don't know. They just faded away. And now we're going through that again.
I see.
Similar situation.
How do you plan to reach out to people on all four corners of the earth and get them to subscribe to this philosophy?
Well, it's gone to Greece this far. I hope it keeps going. I don't want, small news media has picked up on it. None of the big. And I'm averaging, 30 or 40 letters a day. And that I can handle. I'm not a computer business. I'm trying to handle that myself with a few people that are helping me. And each letter I try to reply to in a personal way. People are very willing to help.
And how can they help?
Well, by becoming ambassadors of goodwill, as I have there.
Now, what does an ambassador of goodwill, what are his duties?
Well, his duties, as we're framing it now, his duties are the World Citizens Club, and we'll soon be getting out World Citizenship cards and getting out the newsletter. And that's the beginning of it. Each ambassador of goodwill is more or less the responsible for his area, wherever he's at. Like in Houston, Texas, and all the other places that they come in. And many of the college people are very interested. The college students?
Yeah.
They're very interested, and I'm trying to build it up. Right now it's not a computerized system, and if it gets any worse, I won't be able to handle it. As I say, these small newspapers in small towns have picked it up, and people keep writing in. are very willing to do things. They're very, I'd say about two or three letters a day are not, you expect that in this kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
Not very nice, the letters.
I say, now, ideally, how many ambassadors of goodwill would you like to see stationed throughout this country?
Well, let's see, how many could we handle? Each area would have its own. You'd only give each city the two rights from a certain city. It's to say, we have Jim McManus in Pittsburgh. He's already applied, so maybe you and him could get together, but he's the top banana. So that's the way it would work. It's one in each city and go from there.
I see. Now, when you're a ambassador of goodwill, are you supposed to just go out and get more members, or do you do something else?
Well, that would be it, to take care of your own territory. Yes, that would be, you're the ambassador there. It's just like the United States has an ambassador in Nicaragua, Lord help him, and, he's the one, and then he has to carry on from there.
I see.
That would be about it. Each one his own territory. You can't duplicate. You can't be fraudulent. You try to get the best people to do the job. People are sincerely interested. It wouldn't be much of a wouldn't want much of somebody that would more or less do it on a volunteer basis. Not too much for monetary reward. But, with a club membership and things, it should pay for itself there. You try to, but you never know, but you try to, keep it on a voluntary basis. People are sincerely interested, like in politics in this country many, many years ago. The wealthy would go in and serve, just for serving. Of course, there were other things that they probably worked out, but they served without salary and things like that. That's the good way to look at it. But politicians, it's hard to explain, too, whether they serve without or with. It's a hard one to define.
Yeah. Could you tell me how you've gone about getting publicity?
You mean all the publicity?
Yeah. Where did you send your pamphlet to?
Oh, the pamphlet? Well, I had a man who's in the sales list. The list man, I guess you would call it. And he advised me to send so many to the radio, so many here, so many there. So I did what he said. I said, you do whatever you say. So that's the way I did it. And I said, I drew up the whole thing. It's all in my mind. I drew it all up. It's all Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. Remember him?
Yes.
You know who he created?
Sherlock Holmes.
Right. So I drew up the whole thing. I had it in my mind for 10, 20 years. So I put it down, I drew it all up, and read many books. It's been my hobby. The world's great philosophers and so on. And I don't know, if people read it, they might find out a lot of went into that little book. Trying to put a whole book on one page is quite difficult. But anyhow, that's the creator.
May I ask how much you had to invest to get all this publicity out there?
To invest? Let's see. 1, 2, 3. So far it's been $3,000. A little over $3,000.
Uh-huh.
To get everything set up. That's just to have the people, the people that done the work. Just the putting it together. I put it all, even the, you look at the front of the booklet?
Yes.
Doomsday USA?
Doomsday USA, yes.
Right. I did that myself with the stuff you buy. And you run it over by hand. I did it all myself.
Hmm.
Everything was done, and the sizing of the booklet was done so that you can put it, either mail it the booklet as a booklet, or you can put it in a standardized envelope. The whole thing with the emperor figured it all out himself.
Okay, so you cut corners in various places.
Yeah, I cut corners wherever I could, even down to the mailing of the postage. I figured that out to the penny.
That's good. Did you do you plan on investing much more in the future?
Not much more, no. Not much more. You seem to set the thing up. It's tremendous. You know what a computerized system is?
Yeah.
I answer my letters all. As I say, if it gets beyond 30 or 40 letters a day, I have a very nice person who's, in a wheelchair, and a couple other people that I can give them a few dollars to help them out, and they do my typing and everything. They're very interested in it. A little help. But beyond that, it gets too big. You run a business, you understand it. I can't handle it. It would have to be either be handled fundraising people and all this. Everything is computerized. It's got your name up there, dear Mr. So-and-so. You think it's a personal letter. It's not a personal letter. It's done by the millions. And they can afford to do that. I can only afford to do what I'm doing on a low scale. If it keeps up, it's like Mary was telling me. But good Lord, if these letters keep coming in, you can't afford to answer all these personally. It's terrific. So I don't know, really. You got me on the corner. I don't know what I'm going to do. You just can't handle all these people. Then you get these people, the criticism that comes in. You may say, well, Emperor Zan is way out there. But the letters I get are, of course, you have to... taking the place of somebody that I shouldn't. They didn't read the booklet. I'm not trying to take over the world or take the place of somebody else. An antichrist and all that. You get those letters coming in. Hate mail, they call it. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's it. Hate mail.
There's one thing you say in your book that's rather interesting. It's point number 6 in your proclamations. From planet to planet, man will roam, all the heavens his home. Could you go into that a little bit more, how you feel?
Oh, now that's for the people who are NASA and all the space people. You know, you try to cover the whole field, people that are interested in space, the space shuttle. And like I say, now I was trying to tell you that you read all about all that stuff. The space and all that. So that's how I nailed the whole thing down to one few little words. This is space. That's our future in space. Like the space shuttle. That really is something. That's going up there, and that's our future. And that's really it. Like Kennedy went up there and did that for them. Put all that effort into the first man on the moon and all of that. Well, I'm glad you picked that up. That was great. You really picked that up was great. So I nailed it all down to that, and I really think, well, Columbus discovered America. The world was flat for a long time. Now the world is round. And that's it. We're going into space. My heavens, we've only been on this thing a few years, 50 years or so. 100 years, what have we got? 200 years, what have we got? 300, 500, 1,000 years? Certainly will be. You and I won't, as young as you are, you won't be here, but they'll be out there. Because if you have... Good Lord, I've been here in California for Second World War. I came out here. If I had bought some land and some seen ahead and bought a few houses, I got one that I'm living in. But if I could have bought two or three or four houses,
houses out here. I'd be a millionaire. Today, if you could see that far, just that far. Now, if you could, and many people have said, gee, if I would have done this 5 years ago, they could have seen ahead. But now, if you can see, just a little bit in space, if you can see ahead, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 100 years, we're just little children in space. So that's why that is there, that quote. As I said, you have to read a lot, study a lot, and put it all. I tried, instead of you're asking me about the space, about that quote that goes into space project, so I tried to bring it all down into a few lines. And that's what's there. That's projecting, into the future. Way into the future. Of course, we're not ready for it yet, but we're working on it. The space shuttle. How do you think about that space shuttle?
Oh, I agree. I believe that man's future is in the stars, for sure.
Well, that space shuttle thing is, I hope that the United States government won't pull back too hard on their... Well, I think they may be a little stingy now in 19... beginning of the world is...
Well, it's rather ironic because I think you'll see funding for space programs go up tremendously as soon as it's realized how that will benefit the military.
Well, there's a lot of military budgeted for that. Yeah, they're going to keep it. They'll keep it there. They'll keep it alive, that's for sure. But I think there should be a real big push in that area. That instead of, guns and all that. Of course, right now, the world is in a recession, including this country.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's going to get worse. Over the next 6 to 8 months, it's going to be... this country and the world country governments are going to have to stop wasting, tighten their belts. And it's going to be a very hectic 6 to 8 months, and I think we'll get out of it.
Now, hopefully our future in space will be a lot more optimistic.
Oh, yeah. If we don't do it, somebody else will. But there is cooperation between many of the governments in the world right now. I hope it keeps up a little bit.
All right. Well, we want to wish you luck, Emperor Zahn, and thank you for talking to us.
Yeah. How's everything there? How's the weather there?
Oh, the weather's fine. It's kind of chilly tonight, but... it's holding in there.
Well, we had about, today was 80. Yesterday it didn't even get to 65. So our weather's a little peculiar here.
This is in Culver City?
California. That's Los Angeles, Santa Monica, Beverly Hills. It was a little peculiar, but it's very clear, which is... a blessing for this part of the country.
Yeah. Well, how can people get in touch with you if they want more information on World Citizens?
Well, if they want to, they can write Box 455, Culver City, C-U-L-V-E-R, Culver City, 90230.
That's
California.
One thing that struck me is that you're one of the first organizations I've seen that used the whole 9-digit zip codes.
Oh, well, the government advises you to do it, so...
I noticed you didn't give the last four numbers, though, now.
No, I didn't. 0455.
That's correct.
Oxford.
Okay, well, thanks again for talking to us, and best of luck with the World Citizens.
Okay, one for all, and trick or treat!
We look forward to getting your Mystical Circle newsletter sometime.
Okay, you get it for sure.
Okay.
Thanks a million.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
The ship's near Ashtina. Snow velvet. Isn't he good? Isn't he good, baby? Cyrus' nephew. He may have brought me the last of my answer.
Talk with the Emperor Zahn.
Yes, the original Emperor Zahn.
The one and only.
There was only one Emperor Zahn, that's for sure.
And there's only one quite like him. And that's him.
And that's right. And quite a nice guy he was, too.
Sounded like an interesting fellow.
Yes, he was. And his picture was interesting, too.
Really?
Emperor Zahn, you may be hearing some more about him in the future. Who knows?
He's got a whole bunch of holes in his head.
Well, that's because we put it up in the bulletin board and people stuck tacks to it.
Yeah.
Not intentionally, of course. That's just what happens to things that are on bulletin boards.
Right.
I'd hate to be a piece of paper on a bulletin board.
Well, what else do we have coming up? We have our memorable album side coming up at 2, but before that we got the news, but before that we got the
tripod family. Yes.
But before that we got something from Bunky and Spunky, a Bunky and Spunky report.
Before you get into that.
And before that.
Oh boy, wait, before you get into what's going to be on before that,
uh-huh.
Let me tell the folks that we welcome their contributions of ideas to the Voice of Long Island memorable album side coming up at 2 o'clock.
Right.
Our telephone number is
516-246-7901. And, well, coming right up after this little tune, this little ditty from the 1940s, we'll have something from Bunky and Spunky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I woke blues all around my bed. I woke up early this morning with the blues all around my bed. I couldn't eat my breakfast, and the blues were in my breath.
Combination Anita Edwards, Mamie Van Doren.
Appreciation with the Three Village Tobacco Farms proudly presents the exciting adventures of the Tripod family, the story of one of America's most illustrious families and their struggle to find peace and happiness in the suburbs of Long Island. When we left Howard and Kathy last week, they were still in France, speeding towards Nice in search of the elusive statue. And a stranger has come upon the scene who may hold some answers. And as we join them...
I went to the same statue-making school as Wally Schuberg. That was many years ago.
Oh, so you must be a very good friend of his.
An acquaintance, yes. A friend? No. One cannot become friends with a man like Wally Schuberg. He tends to prefer statues to human beings.
Huh?
That's too bad.
Yes, after all, the statues he makes are models of human beings.
That does not matter. Wally Schuberg is a very cold man. He just doesn't like people. And he tries to avoid them whenever possible.
Well, he lives somewhere here in Nice, doesn't he?
He resides in northern Nice, in a 10,000-acre mansion behind huge cement walls.
Oh.
And he does not accept visitors.
Somehow that doesn't surprise me.
Maybe he's listed in the telephone book.
I really don't think so, Kathy.
Well, we've got to try everything, you know, Howard.
I know.
You know, leave no stone unturned.
We could send him a letter.
My friends, you will be wasting your time. For one thing, the statue of Charles de Gaulle, for which you are in search, is not even in Wally Schuberg's possession.
It's not? Well, then where is it? I mean, that's the reason we're here, after all.
You will not be happy to hear this, Mr. Tripod. I'm afraid...
Wait a minute. Are you about to tell us that the statue's been destroyed?
Yeah, after all this time and effort...
We've been wasting our time?
No, Mr. Tripod. The statue is very much intact. Of that, I can assure you.
But that's good news.
Perhaps. But you still don't know where the statue is.
It couldn't be that bad, could it?
I'm afraid it is. The statue is located somewhere in the sewer system of Nice.
You're kidding.
Oh, Howard, I don't want to go crawling around in sewers.
Especially in French sewers. They're very elaborate, you know. Well, I once heard a story where even the person who built them got lost in them once.
Yes, it was in the Parisian sewer system over a century ago. But these are the Nice sewers. And they're even more complicated. In addition, they're 10 times as secret. Only a few even know of their existence.
Gee.
That sounds kind of scary, Howard.
Yeah. I don't know if I want to...
Are you sure you do, Howard? It'll be fun. Where's your sense of adventure?
Why do you keep asking me that?
I know very little about the sewer system itself. However, I do know where there happens to be an entrance.
I just want to find out one thing. Well, what in the world is this statue doing in the middle of the sewers?
Why, to keep people such as ourselves away from it, of course.
But why would anyone except us want to get at it in the first place?
My friends, do you think you are the only ones who want to find 200 million francs?
200 million francs? What? You mean there's a treasure inside the statue?
You did not know?
That's unbelievable.
You see, we wanted to find the statue so that we could replace the one that belonged to our neighbor back home,
right,
which we broke in our clumsy way.
We thought we could just come on over and pick it up. We weren't planning on a treasure hunt.
Well, my friends, you have found yourselves one. If you want to help me find it,
What do you say, Kathy?
I say, let's do it!
And so the tripods move one step closer towards uncovering the statue for which they are looking. But they step right into an exciting treasure hunt. And you want to be with us next time when we'll hear Kathy say...
Come on, Howard. Where's your sense of adventure?
That's next time on the exciting adventures of the Tripod Family. For Radio Free Long Island and the Three Village Tobacco Farms, this is Don Topeka.
From an album entitled Cajun Accordion, Old and New. A fellow named Gerard Dole. Eric, what are you doing there?
What am I doing?
You're making a lot of noise, aren't you?
No, I'm not making any noise whatsoever. In fact, everything's totally under control here.
I see.
No problem whatsoever.
Okay, well, it's about...
The people walking in and out over
2 o'clock in the morning, straight up.
Goodness.
And you're tuned to WUSB Stony Brook. Time now for a look at the latest news. President Reagan sidestepped one issue and met another head-on Friday night in New York. One reason the president was in New York was to accept an award from Irish Americans, and at the dinner, he avoided any statement about whether he should play the role of peacemaker in Northern Ireland. The only reference he made to the troubled region was to say he hopes responsible leaders from both sides can bring peace to the Emerald Isle.
Earlier in the evening, the president told Republicans at a fundraiser he isn't retreating one inch on his economic program. That, despite new figures indicating that it will be much harder than previously believed to balance the budget by his target of 1984. Reagan says he'll keep his program on course by continuing to ask for spending cuts rather than higher taxes.
Treasury Secretary Donald Reagan also says government spending cuts are the way to go, even though unemployment hit its highest level in nearly 6 years last month. The cabinet official says the administration will just have to be careful to postpone proposed cuts that won't produce a higher jobless rate. The Labor Department says 8% of the workforce was off the job in October, an increase of 0.5% from September's figure.
Residential gas customers could be in for a massive jump in their gas bills between 1984 and 1985 if Congress doesn't change the current plan to decontrol natural gas prices. That was the prediction given the Senate committee Friday by the American Gas Association. The group's president said an individual customer's bill could go up $243 under the current decontrol timetable.
The California appeals court has lifted new restrictions on state payments for poor women who have abortions. The legislature had said low-income women could have state-paid abortions only in cases of rape, incest, genetic deformity, if the woman's life or health was in danger, or if she was under 18 years of age. But the appeals court said once abortion benefits are made available, the state can't withdraw part of that care.
Tropical storm Katrina is now heading out to sea after hitting some islands in the Bahamas with 50-mile-an-hour winds. At 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time Friday, weathermen say the storm was about 200 miles east of the central Bahamas. They expect it to weaken considerably on Saturday.
Five people were critically burned Friday when a grain elevator exploded in Longview, Texas. Authorities say one of the victims may have been welding a grain bin just before the explosion, but the exact cause of the blast is not known. The men are being treated at a burn center in Dallas.
Would blacks and Jews be able to keep an open mind if they sat on a jury in the case of Ku Klux Klan members accused of trying to bomb a Jewish temple? A federal judge in Nashville, Tennessee, thinks so. In rejecting a motion from the defense that the groups be barred, the judge said it would be wrong to think they would have a bias in the case. Besides that, the judge said, excluding a particular group would be unconstitutional.
And across the puddle, the possibility of a court challenge remains in the super close contest for mayor of Bridgeport, Connecticut, where Republican Leonard Pauletta tonight was declared the winner. A recount shows that Pauletta ousted incumbent Democrat John Mandanici by 64 votes. The recount narrowed the gap from the 103-vote Pauletta margin first reported Tuesday night. Francis Mandanici, a lawyer, says he will advise his father to seek a restraining order to block Monday's scheduled swearing-in of Pauletta so that Mandanici can press for a second recount.
And senior Mandanici, once a supermarket manager, has served three terms as mayor of Connecticut's biggest city. Election officials tonight announced that the recount results show Pauletta got 17,950 votes to 17,886 for Mandanici. A Republican and Democratic election moderator counted each absentee ballot and checked all voting machine readings today as police and special observers watched.
American Telephone and Telegraph, move over. Satellite Business Systems Incorporated, developer of a high-speed data satellite system, is formally entering the traditional long-distance telephone business. SBS told the Federal Communications Commission this week of its plans to use some of its satellite capability for a regular long-distance telephone network. It would be offered initially to large-volume users in 20 cities.
The move, which had been expected, will place SBS in direct competition with AT&T and four other firms. An SBS official says its service will be priced an average of 10 to 20% below AT&T's rates. That makes it slightly more expensive than AT&T's present long-distance telephone competitors offers.
New Yorkers save 500 million gallons of fuel oil each year because 21% of the state's households now use firewood as a source of part of their heat. Chairman James LaRocca of the State Energy Research and Development Authority released the estimate to help publicize a demonstration to be held next week in Ulster County.
LaRocca said the state's forests have the potential to replace 11 million barrels of oil a year. Wood harvesting techniques using specially designed tractors are to be demonstrated Tuesday at the Massey Woodlot in Ulster County. Most of the state's forest land is contained in private woodlots.
Well, it's about 5 minutes past two now. 7 degrees in Stony Brook, but that's about 45 Celsius.
Sounds about right to me.
Yeah. Well, you know, at this time we generally have our so-called classical album side.
Really?
And today it is, yes. We left it up to you folks, and you folks, with your overwhelming demand, voted for Heartbeats.
Sorry about that.
Heartbeats. You all voted for Beethoven's Seventh Symphony.
in A, Opus 92. And
No. Actually, it's not in A. It's in dub. Only kidding.
Yeah, you better be. Nobody's going to screw up Ludwig on us tonight.
Ludwig von
Beethoven. It's a very interesting album we have here. This is Arturo Toscanini conducting the New York Philharmonic. This was recorded in April 1936 in Carnegie Hall. The surface quality on this record isn't all that good, actually. And it's not in stereo. In fact, it's pretty much in mono. But we're going to be hearing side one, which contains the first two movements. And it says here, the most perfect performance of any Beethoven symphony ever put on disc. How do you like that, Eric? Eric must be talking on the phone. So what we're going to do here is, without any further ado, we're going to get into our classic album side for tonight. Thank you.
Thank you.
first and second movements of Beethoven's Symphony No. 7 in A, Opus 92. With Arturo Toscanini conducting the New York Philharmonic. Very interesting disc, recorded in 1936 using the state-of-the-art mono process of the time. And, well, that's our memorabule album side for this evening. Of course, any of our listeners are more than welcome to suggest album sides for future Friday nights, actually Saturday mornings. You may do so by writing Radio Free Weekend, The Voice of Long Island, album side. Care of WUSB, State University of New York at Stony Brook, Stony Brook, New York, 11794. Or you can call area code 516-246-7901. And the reason I had to say the one that time is because Eric is out of the room. He's probably out getting the USB midnight snack. He's back. Is he in the other room? No. No. You see, the reason I know he's somewhere around is because he's playing with the phones and lighting up all the lights. But he's not back. Not back. Anyway, let's let Joel Block say something.
Hi, I'm Joel Block, and I'd like to invite you to join me right here on WUSB every evening at 5:58 p.m. and at midnight for Stardate.
If you're wondering where all the planets have gone, well, they've mostly all gone to the sky, visible just before dawn. There's only one planet left in the west after sunset, and that's Venus, a brilliant beacon anybody can identify. As for the stars, well, there's a whole galaxy of them up there waiting to be discovered. We'll give you some ideas on where to start this week on Stardate.
And yes, you can hear Stardate. When can we hear Stardate? We can hear Stardate Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday,
Saturday,
and
Sunday.
At 5:58 and at?
Damn, 12 o'clock.
All right. Very good. That's Bob Zeiser. He thinks he's coming in at... he thinks he's coming in at 3 o'clock. little does he know. Something from Bunky and Spunky.
Today, how to run your own restaurant.
Now, it's real important to pick the right name for your new restaurant. Contrary to popular belief, a name like The Festering Puss Pot will not make people think that such a disgusting name means real good eating inside.
It's right and proper to run your business as economically as possible, but don't serve food that's too old or rancid. A good rule of thumb is, if you must wear a gas mask and rubber gloves to handle it, you shouldn't serve it!
Now, even though you can bake a cake out of old rotten bananas, don't try it with sardines. Folks will be able to tell the difference.
Be sure to find a real friendly hostess or maitre d'. A Don Rickles type might lose you customers. There are people who don't like getting insulted while they eat.
If you happen to be a parent, don't try to serve your child's mud pies as a house specialty. It's an acquired taste, you know. So, until next time, this is Spunky.
And Spunky reminding you, don't serve blasting caps!
And off they go, until the next time you hear from Bunky and Spunky on The Voice of Long Island. Right now, we're going to hear the musical, magical, and mystical sounds of Kenny Roberts.
I got a letter this morning. It said I've done you wrong. You get lots of money. forbidden. Honey, child, no kidding. Who's gonna kiss you when I'm gone?
Who's gonna kiss you when I'm gone?
Thank you.
Yeah, Marianne Faithful here on USB. Mike, oh, there you are.
Oh.
Sorry about that. I didn't have you turned up.
Ha, ha, ha.
He's in the other room, and he's not turned up. Now he is.
Yes, I am. I am turned up.
Too much. Okay. Let's turn that off. Fine.
Thank you.
All right, Marianne Faithful, and we heard the magical, mystical sounds of Mr. Kenny Roberts, minus the machine guns, of course. It is, of course, Saturday, and you know what Saturday is.
What is Saturday?
Saturday is a party.
Now you know.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. Now, we have all sorts of wonderful, magical, mystical things coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Did you tell the folks about Jazz Alive?
How about we let Billy Taylor tell him about Jazz
Alive?
Sounds like
a good idea to me.
Trumpeter Jack Walnut and tenor saxophonist Ricky Ford are just two of the fine young musicians we'll hear when Jazz Alive visits 7th Avenue South in New York City. I'm Billy Taylor, inviting you to join us for the music of the Jack Walruth Mike Clark Quintet and percussionist David Earl Johnson's quintet with guitarist John Abercrombie and flutist Jeremy Steig. And we'll hear one of the most popular jazz groups on the scene today, the Brecker Brothers. The Brecker Brothers, David Earl Johnson, Jack Walruth, and Mike Clark. 2 hours of contemporary music on NPR's Jazz Alive.
Yeah.
All right.
Don't miss it.
Jazz Alive tonight,
10 o'clock
in the PM hours. Part of Radio Free Weekend. Jazz Alive from NPR.
Who sponsors that?
Well, the Graduate Student Organization gives us an underwriting grant for Jazz Alive.
Isn't that
nice, guys?
Mike wants to say thanks too, don't you, Mike?
Thank you.
Okay.
Hey!
Mike!
Yo!
He'll never guess it, just walked into the studio. Must have come in on a train or something. Did you ever watch the show Lou Grant?
With Ed Asner?
That's right. He's here!
Gosh!
Doesn't sound like...
Yeah, I guess it is.
Hello, this is Ed Asner. Every week on Lou Grant, my investigative reporters dig up what most newspapers won't print. In real life, there's a radio program that does just that. Each week, Consider the Alternatives brings you in-depth reports on political subjects the rest of the media just won't touch. Take a listen to Consider the Alternatives. You won't find it in the newspapers.
Oh, yes, you will, because we're listed in the newspapers, and...
Ha-ha.
One program we're very proud of. We're always listing that one. Consider the Alternatives, Monday night at 6:30 p.m.
That's right after the Public Interest Radio Show.
Speaking of which...
Winter heating bills eating you up? If you're one of thousands of Long Islanders who burns heating oil, there's something you can do about it. This is Mike Markowitz for the Public Interest. This Monday at 6... we will be talking with Mike Saravella and Michelle Chaikin, student coordinators of a fuel buyers group saving Long Island homeowners up to $300 a year. Also on this Monday show, we will update our ongoing property tax report. Tune into the Public Interest every Monday evening, 6 o'clock, over WUSB.
In Stony Brook. There you are, Mike.
Stony Brook, New York. Thanks. Yes, thank you very much for letting me come back in here.
Yeah, you're welcome. And bringing the train with you.
Yeah.
Oh. It's a train in Dane, I think. Or something like that.
Yeah, I believe it's in Spain.
In the rain.
On the plane.
Elaine. Who let Elaine in here? Go on, get out.
Yes, who did let Elaine in here? Is she related to Tom Verlaine?
No, John Vernile.
Oh, I see.
But he doesn't talk about Elaine too much.
Well, you know, these things.
Well, Mike, we have something here that's very rare, and I'm fortunate that
it
came into our studios.
Why don't you tell us all about it?
Okay, I want to tell you all about it. Well, through a fortunate turn of events, this original transcription has been acquired from a dissertation given by the late Professor Charles Pamplemouse, RCB, at the 18th Assembly of the Heirs of the Polyxenian Empire.
Ooh.
Professor Pamplemouse was a distinguished anthropologist of his time, whom many believe to be the world's leading authority on the subject of extinct civilizations. And we happened to acquire this record. It was literally buried, and we found it. And it sounds kind of scratchy at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very interesting story on the Empire of Polyxenia. And the program concludes with the singing of the Polyxenian National Anthem. You say we proceed with this?
Sure.
Here we go. Kind of scratchy, I said.
Thank you. know she meant it. However, if we assume her sister rival rose to quell such monstrous pain, I most humbly submit her unpleasant end.
good thing we were already standing, because that...
I tell you, they'd be, sure be a bunch of talented musicians, aren't they?
I think they'd be just that, very much so. Clap 2 on USB FM, the...
What happens if you spell that backwards?
You talk. You talk. I never saw that before. You
see?
Talk.
See, there you
it
go.
It doesn't mean anything, but it's interesting.
Sure it is.
You talk. Plateau, you talk. How fascinating.
Yeah.
Well, no, that's the band everybody thought, well, not everybody, some people thought were the Beatles. But Klaatu maintains that they never wanted that to be the impression given of their group.
That's good.
After 4 albums, they finally identified themselves.
Oh.
But that album's in the other room, and doesn't really matter anyway, because we were just listening to their music.
Right.
Alexania.
So you're still standing up, huh?
I am, aren't you?
Yes, in fact I am, and you can look through your window and see. If you don't believe me.
Well, I believe you. Yeah, you're standing.
Rob says I'm standing, right?
I hope Rob is going to stand up. I think he's got the willpower and the strength. You're going to stand, aren't you, Rob?
Yeah, I can stand.
For 4 hours. We did it for 3. Rob can do it for 4. And I think Nancy Belushi in the morning can do it for another 3 hours.
She's going to be in the morning?
I believe so.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Of course, Lister always stands.
But he's not going to be here tomorrow, is he?
I am not certain about that. But whoever comes in will be standing. You have my assurances on that.
Huh.
Of course, all the tapes we play stand.
Well, you know, Bob, if he's complaining that he has to stand for 4 hours, just look at us. We combined stood for 6 hours.
That's right. Did you hear that, Rob? Combined, we stood for 6 hours, so you shouldn't complain.
Oh.
He seems to understand
this. He says, oh. Gosh. Well, Eric, our time is just about up.
It is just about up. We made it through another Saturday morning.
In
Friday night.
Rub-a-dub style-y.
We did all sorts of crazy things tonight. Talk to an emperor.
Emperor's on.
Yeah, listen to some tripods, which will be beginning again next Tuesday night, around between 10 and 10:15.
Same with Thursday night.
And it'll be continuing into Thursday. We'll be
right
doing
here.
Tuesday-Thursday series, in addition to this series.
Right here on 90.1 FM, Long Island's non-commercial alternative, WUSB.
Long Island.
Stony Brook.
Only alternative.
Oh, yeah.
Strong words.
That's true.
Well, folks, it's been really real.
It's been a Friday night.
Saturday morning.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Out of bed, it's 8 a.m. Out my head, by 10:30. Out with mates, and dates and friends. That's what I do at weekends. I can't talk, and I can't walk. But I know where I'm going to go. I'm going to watch my money go. At the local, when my feet go through the door, I know what my right arm is for.
For a living, anyway.
We are the now song. You can't go wrong. Cause we say thank you at the end of every song.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Blotto here at USB, and we hear the Now Tones from Mary P. Hello, my name is Blotto. What's yours? I'm Rob Zeiser. I'll be taking you into the less wee hours of the morning, like around 7 o'clock. Right now, it's really wee here at 3:08. Right now, this is brand new from the Hitmen, from their brand new album, Torn Together. It's Bates Motel. By the way, if you have any ideas on what you want to hear, you can call me here at 516-246-7901. And the Hitmen here at USBFM.